Please join me now in the prayer for illumination. Open our hearts and minds today, teaching God, that we might hear and believe in your word. Amen. The first reading is from Matthew 21, 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And now please turn in your hymnals to 467 to sing "How Great Thou Art."
second reading today is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There I was, minding my own business. I was tied up outside of my master's house, quietly eating some hay, when some strangers came up to me and started to untie me. I'm being stolen, I thought. But then I heard my master say, "Where are you taking my donkey?" And the stranger said, "The Lord needs him." So away I went with the men. They took me to another man outside the walls of a great city and laid a cloak over my back, and the other man got on my back. As we went toward the city walls, the people all lined up along the road and laid their cloaks on the ground for me to walk on, and some of them even laid branches of trees on the road. We went up the road toward the walls of the city, and all of the people were cheering for us. It was a little scary, but the man on my back kept patting my neck, saying it was okay. So I made up my mind to keep going. They went ahead of us into the city, and some followed behind, and they were calling out too. And when we got into the city, it was so noisy. I wanted to go home. Then we stopped in front of a big, important-looking building, and the man got off, and I could tell that all of the hoo-ha had been about him. And he went into the temple, and the other men who had walked alongside of us took me back to my home. It was so exciting. I was glad to be home. Trying to capture the feeling of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem isn't too hard, based on the passage from Matthew that Angie read for us just a few minutes ago. Reading it this week made me think about different parts of the passage and the beings involved, both human and animal. The donkey colt was borrowed to fulfill a prophecy, and even though the donkey wouldn't know exactly what was going on, he must have known something was up with all of the palm waving and people making noise. And isn't that a little like how we are about Jesus and the life he led and the way people reacted to him? We know there's something special going on, but we don't always know what's going on, why Jesus did and said some of the things that he did. And often we really don't know how we're supposed to react. Sometimes it's a little scary, too, and confusing with all the competing rhetoric about what it means to be a Christ follower. But for today, at least for now, we can rejoice along with all of the people who laid their cloaks and their palm tree branches on the road for Jesus and the donkey to walk on, and who waved their palm branches over his head as they rode by. We can rejoice because we're coming to the end of Lent and winter and into resurrection spring. We can rejoice because we are Christ followers, even if we don't always know what that means. We can rejoice because we have seen the way that Jesus lived and loved and healed people like you and me, the woman at the well, the man born blind, his good friend Lazarus, along with many others that he encountered along the way. We forget sometimes, I think, that from the time that Jesus was baptized until he rode into Jerusalem was about 3 years. We forget the 6 weeks of Lent aren't the entirety of Jesus' ministry. The 6 weeks of Lent, and especially Holy Week itself, compresses a lot of action into a relatively small amount of time. But Jesus had had 3 years to build his reputation, to heal and preach and teach and gather followers. He's also had 3 years for his reputation with the religious leadership in the Roman government to grow, a reputation not nearly as appealing to them as it is to the outsiders, the poor and the disenfranchised and the broken. He has built a reputation over 3 years that is truly beginning to disturb the powers that be. He isn't the only itinerant preacher around, but somehow he's the one attracting all the attention. He calls himself the Son of Man and the Son of God, a term reserved for Caesar. He does things on the Sabbath that leave the Pharisees fuming. He upends the ideal of behavior for the religious, saying it is an outward appearance of faith that matters, but what's inside that counts. Believing is important, but acting on that belief is at least as important. It is in this atmosphere of devotion on the one hand and suspicion on the other on which Jesus rides into Jerusalem. Those who were suspicious were held in check, for a time anyway, by those who were devoted to Jesus. They couldn't arrest him while he had so many supporters for fear of a riot, so they plotted to discredit him. One thing to note here is the importance of honor in the culture of Jesus' day, and even today in that part of the world. We in the Western civilization have some idea of honor and dishonor, but it really isn't the same as it is, especially in the Mediterranean area, but also in other parts of the world. Honor applies to the smallest detail of life in some parts of the world, even to the point of death. Say, for example, a woman who has dishonored her family by having sex before marriage, and never mind if she was raped. Even at that time, society in the Mediterranean world was built on an honor and shame model. Honor or status was understood as your personal value in your own eyes and the eyes of your own social group, and there was a limited amount of status to be had. So life consisted of struggling to move up and up. This was true not only for aristocrats, but also for the lower classes. Shame wasn't just being sorry for any wrongs you've committed, but because society was so group-oriented, what others would think was fundamental to life and could lead, as in the example of the woman in dishonor, to death. In Philippians, Paul illustrates this movement in the beautiful passage found in chapter 2. Though Jesus was fully divine, he didn't use that status to build himself up. He didn't take advantage of being God in human form, unlike what often happened in the culture, taking advantage of status to gain more status. He lived as a human being, feeling hunger and thirst, anger and joy and sorrow. He went from being the form of God to being in the form of a slave, Paul says, by being in human form, a servant rather than a warrior. And he went from being a slave to experiencing death on the cross, the ultimate in shame. And even though Jesus wasn't about status per se, by putting himself in opposition to the religious and governmental leaders, he was challenging their status. By gathering followers, his status and honor did increase for a time, which threatened their status as the moral and legal authorities of society. So they had a dilemma. How could they get rid of Jesus? How could they arrest him without inciting a riot? We see his status begin to break down as he is questioned by the Pharisees and as he prophesies against them. We see his status break down as some of his followers realize that he isn't going to challenge Rome or Jerusalem in a military way. We see his status break down as Judas decides to betray him to the Pharisees. Peter, James, and John can't even stay awake as he prepares himself for what's coming. And even after Jesus is arrested, the disciples are thinking more of their safety and status than they are of their beloved leader. Peter denies knowing Jesus and the rest of the disciples. They scatter, leaving Jesus to his fate. And down he goes until he's up on a cross. By the time we get to the end of this week, Jesus will have been tried, convicted, and crucified. He will have died, and he will have been buried. He will have gone from son of man to criminal, from master and rabbi to fraud and fake. He will have been humiliated, beaten, deserted by everyone but the women. Another shame. We all know this. We all know the end of the story. But where do you see yourself in the story? Most of us don't really see ourselves in Jesus' place. So if you haven't put yourself in Jesus' position before, I encourage you to do so. What must he have been feeling during all of this? But this story is really about everyone else and us. It's a story about us. And this is where Paul's letter to the Philippians comes back into play. While we didn't read the first four verses of the chapter of this letter, it might help us understand where we stand. Paul writes, "If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing of the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." And continuing with verse 5, which is where we come in today, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Being in the same mind means not taking advantage of the grace of God, but being self-sacrificing as Jesus was. While we aren't God in human form, we are recipients of grace and mercy and forgiveness. We are reconciled to God and our brokenness is repaired. Thus we are to imitate Christ and act as though we have Christ within us. In a way, it's like the old "what would Jesus do" from several years ago, or at least I think that's kind of what Paul was getting at. We should have the mind of Christ, the love of Christ, and be in accord with Christ, harmonizing our lives with Christ in every way, even to the point of teaching our world what we know of Christ and how Christ can heal our world, even if we think we might be laughed at, ridiculed, run off. So that even though Christ humbled and exalted himself, humbled and shamed himself as a human, when the kingdom of God comes, he will be exalted in that kingdom. This might seem daunting, and it is. If it were easy, everyone on earth would already know and follow Christ. And we know, unfortunately, that this isn't true. But there is good news here. Even though the disciples deserted Jesus, even though his own people let him down, Jesus didn't disown them. In fact, they were the ones who he appeared to after the resurrection. And like the disciples, even if we can't always be in the same mind of Jesus and have the same love and be in accord with Jesus, neither are we rejected and disowned. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are found acceptable, and we are made holy. And in this week in which we are reminded of the full range of our relationship with Jesus, from Hosanna to crucify him, that is indeed good news. Amen.